As I shared at the men's retreat, I first heard about Roger Oakland many, many years ago by listening to Christian radio going back and forth to my job in the shipyard. There were times that I would hear, and down in California, there's a what's called K-Wave radio station out of Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. And for years, Roger was down there in five-minute snippets of apologetic truth about creation, other church issues that were important in the day. So in a five-minute little message, I used to love those little five-minute messages because they were so powerful, and I'd ponder them, turn the radio off after that and start pondering and trying to lock in those truths that were shared. And as Roger shared with us yesterday, he came from an evolutionist biology teacher kind of background and became a believer in trusting in the biblical account of creation and wanted to dedicate his life to helping people not be deceived into the evolutionary lie, which Satan has used so powerfully to deceive. And so then when K-Wave was broadcast up here on CSN, I heard those snippets and became aware. And so Roger, many years ago, he was the founder of Understand the Times International, which is a web-based ministry now. You can go and get information, Understand the Times. He sends a newsletter out with very timely news items related to biblical prophecy, related to where we are in these last days. And as we've been going through a Left Behind series here, this is actually, today's message is going to kind of fit into the rise of the global religion of the Antichrist. And that was the theme of the men's retreat too. And so to just be warning that as the world's preparing for global government, it's also preparing for global religion, and we have to be wise to keep our hearts from wandering. So with that, I just want to introduce Roger Oakland. He has written three books, also Let There Be Light, Faith Undone, and Another Jesus, co-authored others with other books with others, but they've helped the church to make sure let's stick with the biblical Jesus, the biblical gospel. It's been a blessing to many, and he spends half his time in Canada, where his family has had a farm for many decades, and half of his time down in Costa Mesa. So with that, let's welcome Roger Oakland, and as he shared the word.
It's been a wonderful weekend at the men's retreat, and I see many are gathered here this morning. When Kevin invited me to come this weekend, I immediately said yes. Kevin is a like-minded brother in Christ who, as he said, we've known each other through mutual friends for a number of years. And I knew that I would be welcome here, and the message that I would share dealing with end times deception, which would one that, well, I'd already go to a group of people who would be well taught. And so it's a privilege for me to be here with you. This morning's message will be sort of a summation, continuation of the topics that we dealt with at the men's retreat. But if you're here for the first time hearing me, it will be a message that will stand alone. Let's open in prayer. Lord, you're a sovereign God, and you lead and direct our lives. And this morning, we're here at this place, and Lord, you've placed this message on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me and through me, through your word and through the presentation that has been put together, so that all of us would be informed with regards to Satan's strategy in these days in which we live. But Lord, we want to put our attention upon you, recognizing that through you, through your word, the light of your word, the truth, Lord, we can confront these delusions, these deceptions, and present the truth to others. So Lord, we commit this time to you, recognizing that we can do nothing by our own strength. So I pray that you would speak through me this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. As Kevin mentioned, the ministry is called Understand the Times, and that's something that has been on my heart for many years, but when we moved to Southern California in 1988, became apparent that God was opening doors for us on a wider perspective. And so we put this organization together in order to take the message that the Bible is the truth regarding the past, helping to understand the present and where things are headed in the future. And I thank God by His grace for the many opportunities that He has given us to take the message of the truth of the Word of God to many places around the world. This morning our presentation is titled, Wiles of the Devil, Last Day's Deception in the World and the Church. Begin with the scripture from Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The Bible tells us that we are to beware of Satan's plans because he's a schemer. He has an agenda to deceive. The Bible calls him the great deceiver, the one who deceives the whole world. Satan, the serpent, the dragon. We are to beware of deception. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Notice Satan is compared to a roaring lion. This lion's not roaring. I took the picture myself when I was on a trip to South Africa speaking tour, and my host took me to an animal park farm where we drove around in various areas, looked at different animals, and I wanted to take a picture close up, but my host says, just roll your window down just enough to get the lens out the window, which I did. Apparently a week before, some Japanese tourists, very enthusiastic to get a close-up, got out of the car and never returned. Satan's like a roaring lion, seeking to devour, to destroy. And this morning I want to look at part of his plan, the deceiver's plan to deceive the world at this particular time. The plan to deceive or blind the minds of unbelievers so that they might not understand the light of the glorious gospel. But also, he has a plan to even blind the minds of believers after they've believed and to deceive them, which he does. His overall plan is to take as many hostages with him to hell. Now, how are we going to look at this plan in the few minutes that we have together this morning? It's difficult, but I'm going to attempt in a few minutes to look at some of the major ways in which he does this. I mentioned some of the basic plots, and I'm going to do this based on my own personal experience in ministry. Over the 30-some years that I've been involved in ministry, the different areas that God has, well, allowed me to deal with deception. A number of years ago, I was on a radio open line program, and the host asked me, if you could describe what you do in one word, what would it be? And I thought for a second, and I thought of the word deception. Because by His grace, God had revealed the truth to me. I had been deceived. And I could see many other ways that people have been deceived through the years. And that's how our ministry developed. First, exposing the evolutionary agenda, because I was an evolutionist, as I will share with you. Then confronting another area of the New Age movement in the mid-80s. And then dealing with experience-based Christianity, and then Roman Catholicism and experience-based Christianity. And then the modern trends within Christianity of people being led away from the true gospel based on the scriptures. I'm going to share some of these things with you this morning that I believe have impacted the world and the church so that we'll be better informed to proclaim the truth in the midst of these days in which we live, which, as we mentioned in the men's retreat, these are days of strong delusion, apostasy. The first area, Satan's plan. There's no God, therefore there's no gospel. Number two, everything is God, therefore there's no gospel. And three, there is more than just the gospel according to the scriptures. First of all, what is the gospel? Well, for me, a single verse, the verse that God used to bring me to Him, lays out the gospel very clearly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I was 30 years old before that verse meant anything to me, although I had memorized it as a child. And at 30 years of age, after, I won't go into the details, I opened my Bible one day to the front page, and in my dad's handwriting, I read that verse, and I believed for the first time. God, the Creator, loved me so much that He gave His Son to come to this earth, lived a perfect, sinless life. And His life was sacrificed upon the cross. His blood was shed and He died. 3 days later, resurrected. He lives together. And whosoever would believe in Him and what He has done, and whosoever would acknowledge who they are and what they've done, separated from God because of their sin, and acknowledge Him and ask for forgiveness, could enter into a relationship with the Creator that would last forever. That burned into my heart. And a few days later, I sensed God calling me, although I didn't understand at all, into some sort of ministry, didn't understand what that meant, but to tell others that the Bible is true and who God is and what He's done. The gospel. It's the centrality of the scriptures. Now, Satan hates the gospel. And his goal is to destroy the gospel or blind people from believing in this simple gospel message. And one of the ways, and I believe this is a very significant way, is to convince people there's no God. See, the Bible begins, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. If Satan convinced people there's no God, there's no gospel. And that's what he has done. By convincing people that the Genesis record is nothing more than a myth, a Babylonian myth, and that man's speculation on the subject of the origin and the history of the earth is true. It's called science. Evolution. And as a result of this indoctrination that creation based on the Bible is a myth and that Darwinian evolution is true and science, billions of people have rejected the gospel message. Now, how has he done this? Well, science, the world, claims that evolution is true because in the beginning, not God, in the beginning there was an explosion. And disorder became order following the explosion. But no one has ever observed an explosion that has brought about order. Number two. They say that evolution is true because our planet Earth came into existence as particles randomly condensed after the explosion. When our planet is positioned in exactly the right place from the sun, it has exactly all of the conditions necessary for life. All by chance? Not a chance. But that's what we're told. They say evolution is true because non-life became life spontaneously when no one has ever observed that occurring. All life we've ever observed comes from life which already exists. That's biblical. God created life with the ability to reproduce after its kind. They say evolution is true because there's been a progression of life from simple to complex, and we're shown things like the Darwinian tree of life with a single-celled organism and amoeba at the bottom and man at the top. And there is no evidence that this has ever occurred. There are no intermediates between the various kinds of life. They're missing. Yet many people believe this. They believe it's science. They believe evolution is true because the layers, they say, formed over billions of years as life evolved. And there's a progression of life in the crust of the earth. But it's not found in this orderly sequence of evolutionary change. Life was destroyed suddenly and catastrophically in the past, as the Bible tells us in the Genesis record, the great flood that impacted the entire world. They say that evolution is true because there's a complete lineage between apes and humans, which is a total lie. Well, we see murals and paintings and drawings like this, but the fossil record, they're fragments, totally incomplete. You see, for over a century and a half, the world has been conditioned to believe there's no God because of evolution. And it's had a huge impact. Evolutionism has been used as the basis for atheistic communism, which encompasses a huge portion or population of our planet. Evolutionism has been used as the basis for the religion of humanism, which, by the way, our schools, universities have become the seminaries for the religion of humanism here in North America. As a result, worldwide, billions of people do not believe in God. If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, you can't understand the gospel, because the God of the Bible created things in the beginning, good, perfect, and there was a fall from the creation because of man's sin. And we're separated from the Creator. You have to understand that in order to believe the gospel. It is ultimately important to understand the gospel, to understand that there's the Creator, the biblical Creator, who is Jesus Christ. Satan's first major plan, the wiles of the devil. Number two, related to the first point, Satan, if he can convince people that everything is God, there's no gospel. And this is a very effective way. We read about this in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. Let me give a summation. When man denies the God who made everything, he will eventually worship everything that God has made. Paul says that the evidence for creation is so obvious from the things that God has made, that if we reject that evidence, we are without excuse. Our foolish hearts are darkened. Professing to be wise, we become fools and believe a lie. So rather than believing the truth of creation, man will believe the opposite of creation, the lie, which is evolution. In fact, Paul goes on further to describe, man will begin to worship anything and everything as God, but not God who created everything, worshiping the creation, which is what we were talking about at the men's conference, Babylonianism. That is one of Satan's major plans. And evolution, of course, has set up the Western world to embrace this. The Eastern religious world, Buddhism and Hindus, that's what they have believed for centuries. It's Babylonianism. So this has had a huge impact on society. Evolution claims that man has arisen from the slime and is on his way upwards to the divine. So typically we see charts like this. I took this from the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. You see this progression of life onward and upward. But according to this concept, evolution continues. And man has the ability to use various methods and techniques in order to take the next step of evolution. There are tools that one can use to elevate to godhood. I'm making reference to what's called the New Age mentality, which has been popular in the West here since the 1980s. The belief that, well, children can be enlightened and more creative through meditation. The belief that yoga will allow one to evolve to higher levels of consciousness. The belief that Eastern religion has various methods that can elevate man towards godhood, all brought about by what's called the serpent power, which should be easily understood in light of Scripture. And Satan came to Eve and said, "You can be as God." Billions have been deceived that everything is God, that man can be God. Billions have been deceived that there are many ways to God. And so, the gospel of Jesus Christ is rejected. Wiles of the devil, number two. Number three, think of the billions of people now that have been deceived by one or number two. Satan, if he can convince people that there's more to the gospel than what we find in the Bible, that we can be enlightened. There's more to the gospel message than the Bible mentions, is the idea. And that it's necessary to add to or to remove from the words of inspired Scripture. That's the key. Adding to or taking away is one of his major goals. And extra-biblical experience or revelation is a required prerequisite to know the truth. So if Satan can convince people that some kind of an experience, spiritual experience, replaces the gospel message, the gospel according to the Scriptures, he can trap a whole major group or population into deception. Now, this is what we talked about over the past day, several sessions yesterday, about a last day's deception that would occur in advance. We're warned from the Bible. Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 24. He said there would be false teachers. He said there would be false prophets. He said there would be false appearances that would take place in his name and false signs and wonders. Paul talked about it in many different scriptures. He said there would be falling away from the faith and deception would grow worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The great falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there comes a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So we're told in Scripture that there would be this time. There's always been deception. But in the last days, the deception would intensify. And I believe that it would be based on lying signs and wonders and experience in the name of Christianity. So one of the areas we'll look at here this morning is various kinds of teachings and belief systems that are promoted in the name of Christ that are not Christian. They're antichrist. And many, many people are caught up in these belief systems. For example, there's a Charisma magazine. The Church, the New Millennium, Fasten Your Seatbelt, the Christian Revival Could Sweep the World in the Next 25 Years. You see, there's a whole major group of Christianity that believes that the entire world is coming to Christ. And, well, Charisma magazine here shows the Church for the New Millennium welcoming the whole world to this one world church. And some of these mega churches that the other Charisma articles explain, huge, huge volumes of people that come to these meetings in order to experience the miraculous signs and wonders. In one case, numbers of people were trampled to death trying to get to this church in Africa, or try to get to the platform of the church to touch the speaker. But even the author of this article mentions that the reason is because of signs and wonders. Jesus warned about this. Paul warned about this. And we need to be careful about following after experiences to believe that we've become a true Christian. Over the years, I have followed this trend because, well, I grew up, originated in the province of Saskatchewan, and it was in Saskatchewan where the Latter Rain movement originated in 1948. The Latter Rain movement was a movement claiming that God was raising up a mighty last days army, an army empowered by Christians. It was called Joel's army. The army would win the planet for Jesus, and Jesus couldn't come until the army got the job done, and the kingdom of God would be established here on planet Earth through, well, human effort and these so-called anointed Christians. This movement has continued through the decades, and many people have got involved in it. I was going to share with you some of the experiential side on video, but we'll let that go this morning. But perhaps you've heard of such things as the Toronto Blessing, the Pensacola River, where people go to certain places in order to receive an anointing, a transferable anointing, and they're overcome uncontrollably. They laugh uncontrollably, they shake, and they go through all kinds of weird behavior, claiming that they've been touched by the Holy Spirit and now empowered to go out and to reach others. You don't find that in the Bible. Then we could look at some of the messages that are coming from so-called, well, appearances of a woman claiming to be Mary. This has been happening for centuries, but recently these messages have come in many, many places. People following after messages or apparitional messages from Mary, supposedly the mother of Jesus. Some of these messages claim that Mary should be given the title of co-redemptrix. Here you see an image. This is a place in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, where an apparition supposedly occurred, claiming that Mary is the co-redemptrix. Here is the Time magazine. Hail Mary, Catholics have long revered, but now Protestants are following her for reasons to celebrate the Mother of Jesus. It's now becoming popular. Presentation is part of the emerging church. Yesterday I described what the Roman Catholics believe who Jesus is. And there you see the past Pope holding up a wafer. Here's the present Pope holding up a wafer. And after the process called transubstantiation that can only be initiated by a priest, that's supposed to be the presence of Jesus. It's not biblical. Or wafer can be placed within a container, in this case it's called a monstrance, and put on display, and the people sit around and they worship what they believe is Jesus. It's called Eucharistic adoration, not in the Scriptures. Yet people believe that's Jesus. Here is past Pope holding a wafer for Eucharistic adoration, and I have personally witnessed this in various places. This is in Ecuador, where people adore what they believe is Jesus in a monstrance, not found in the Bible. The plan, the agenda, which we mentioned in our series, is that the Roman Catholic Church has a plan called the New Evangelization to win the entire world to the Roman Catholic Jesus. What is frightening about this is that in many places people claim that Jesus is appearing after Eucharistic adoration, claiming that they see him in the monstrance. Could this be what Jesus talked about? Said that they would say that he's appearing but don't believe it, it's not him? I believe so. See, Judgment Day, Jesus said, Matthew 7:21-24. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Very sobering. Jesus said on Judgment Day, there will be people who honestly believe that they have believed, but they've been deceived in his name. That's why we need to be careful. The wiles of the devil. Satan has various plans, strategies to get people to believe they believe in Jesus, believe they believe in the gospel, when instead they have been deceived. Now, I have a fourth section that I didn't mention in the introduction, which will bring things up to date. Satan has a goal to deceive those who believed. And in my experience in ministry over the past 35 years, I have seen these things happen. And part of the purpose of our radio programs, the ones that Kevin mentioned, were to try to get the information out to warn people. That's why we have a website, to write commentaries and various articles and the various books and DVDs and things which have been produced, trying to warn people what's happening, to wake them up. You see, Satan's goal, I believe in these days, not only to continue his plan of deception to deceive the world, but to target and deceive believers who trust and who have trusted and believed in Jesus, especially those who have been effective. Good Bible teachers. In fact, whole denominations who were known for teaching the Bible have been impacted. Satan wants to make them ineffective by destroying their Christian witness and drawing them away from the Scriptures, getting them sidetracked. In order to render them useless, they become part of his agenda and his plan to deceive. And this agenda intensifies in the last days. That's what apostasy is. Falling away. Now, a word of caution. This topic is not easy to present. Especially when I'm in a new group, and especially in a group that where I'm not sure how they've been taught, because these people generally are caught up in many of the areas that I'm now going to be speaking about. There's always a possibility of being misunderstood. When I mention names or groups of people, I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm just saying they're in dangerous territory, doing the things they're doing. But the Bible teaches we should contend for the faith. And that's what I want to do. But contending requires pointing those that are deceived back to the truth. Contending is not being contentious. Contending is telling people the truth in love. And I hope that is the way it comes across this morning. These are Paul's words, 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a wide door for effective service is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul is, I believe he is, the greatest contender for the faith. And he faced opposition, tremendous opposition. And I can tell you this, and you probably already fully understand it, if you have attempted to contend for the faith within your family or friends, others, you've run into opposition, and you will. That has been at least my experience. I'm going to share with you a number of observations that I've made. Number one, Pastors, churches, and denominations that once promoted the biblical God as the Creator now are willing to admit the Bible is not reliable when it comes to the subject of origins. They now accept that speculation of man, evolution, is superior to the revelation of Scripture. First phase of her ministry was traveling widely throughout Canada, speaking to a fellowship of churches and mainly on biblical creation. I don't know one of those churches that I spoke at in the past who would have me come back. They no longer consider Genesis to be the Word of God. It's amazing. And that's typically what we see has occurred. People have been persuaded to believe, well, a number of things. Well, God used evolution to create. It's called theistic evolution. You won't find that in the Bible. Or there's others who've swallowed the idea. It's called progressive creation. And they use humanistic evolutionary views based on Darwinism, uniformitarianism, and fit it into the Bible. They say, oh, well, we believe God, we believe He created, but we have to modify what God has said in His Word by science, who has come up with the actual facts and the proof. And they reject the Genesis record. They call it a Bible myth, a biblical myth, Babylonian myth. Let me give you a couple of examples. Here's an article from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Nearly 200 Wisconsin clergy want school officials in Grantsburg, Wisconsin, to ensure evolution remains at the center of scientific teaching in the schools. We, the undersigned Christian clergy from many different traditions, believe that the timeless truths of the Bible and discoveries of modern science may comfortably coexist. We believe the theory of evolution is the foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to rigorous scrutiny and upon which much of you human knowledge and achievement rest. To reject this truth or to treat it as one theory among others is to deliberately embrace scientific ignorance and transmit such ignorance to our children. Statement from clergy. They continue, we urge school board members to preserve the integrity of the science curriculum by affirming the teaching of the theory of evolution as a core component of human knowledge. We ask that science remain science and religion remain religion, two very different but complementary forms of the truth. Well, we looked at some of the foundational principles of evolution, and it's a story, not based on fact. And by the way, evolution is a religion. It comes from Hinduism, Buddhism. But not only has the world been persuaded that it's the truth, now the church. Darwin Sunday. Churches to mark Darwin's birthday. Hundreds to join Evolution Sunday, organized by Wisconsin Academy. 450 churches around the country plan to celebrate the 197th birthday of Charles Darwin. Just to give you an idea of what's happening. Observation 2. Pastors, churches, and denominations once opposed to the influence of the New Age movement are now embracing the New Age and Eastern religious practices as harmless and claim they're beneficial. Here's an article from Time magazine, Stretching for Jesus. Christian yoga is gaining a devout following, upsetting purist Hindus and some Christians. The yoga teacher sits in a lotus position atop a polished wooden platform. Behind her, verdant woods are visible through panoramic windows. Gentle music tinkles from overhead speakers. Two dozen students in spandex outfits, most of them women, settle on the purple and blue mats to begin the class, a breathing exercise. Their instructor recommends today's mantra, Yahweh. It's a great breath prayer, she says. The Jesus prayer also works. Now lift your arms and praise to the Lord. The platform is an altar. The tinkly tune is praise music. And the practice is Christian yoga. That's an oxymoron. If you know anything about yoga, it's a practice, Eastern religious practice, to link oneself with the universal energy. Christian yoga classes? There's one church that I taught in Southern California. I brought up the topic that you couldn't combine Christianity and yoga. And next day the pastor called me up and said, you'll never come back to my church. And I said, I'm sorry, what happened? He said, well, my wife teaches yoga classes in our church. I have never been back. The serpent power? Being introduced in the name of Christ? Oh, it's happening. Contemplative practices. As Brian McLaren says, many Christian leaders started searching for a new approach under the banner of spiritual formation. This new search has led them back to Catholic contemplative practices and medieval monastic disciplines. This is part of the emerging church. The introduction of the teachings of Thomas Merton, Henry Nouwen, Thomas Keating, to alter one's consciousness through these various Eastern meditative practices. Jan Johnson, in her book Soul Listens, describes contemplative prayer. In its simplest form, it's prayer in which you still your thoughts, puts you in a better state to be aware of God's presence, makes you better able to hear God's voice, correcting, guiding, and directing you. Or Jacqueline Small, in Awakening in Time, regarding contemplative practices. Its practitioners are trained to focus on an inner symbol that quiets the mind. When practitioners become skilled at this method of meditation, they undergo a deep trance state similar to auto-hypnosis. Thousands and thousands of Christians are opening the door, reading the wrong books. They need to read the book, the Bible, and they would find out the direction they're going is down the road to spiritual deception. This has not only swept the world, it's now sweeping the church. And it's introducing people to the serpent and the fallen spiritual realm. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, Paul said. The wiles of the devil. Observation 3. Pastors, churches, and denominations that once boldly proclaimed the gospel now feel the gospel is too offensive to unbelievers and therefore needs to be disguised in order to make it more seeker-friendly. Everywhere I've gone, in North America, people are telling me every church in our community is moving in this direction. It's become entertainment or a business rather than hearing the Bible taught. The gospel without the shedding of the blood is not the gospel, but that's what's being presented. The seeker-friendly movement and the teachings that we're going to heal the earth, human effort will establish God's kingdom here on planet Earth. That's not the biblical message. But you see, it's these teachings, watered down teachings, that are used as part of the church growth movement. And church growth can be manipulated by human efforts at the expense of biblical truth. You can start out with a small church and you can build that church, but it will be a shallow church. And that's what's happening. Observation 4. Pastors, churches, and denominations that once exposed false teachers are now less discerning. False doctrines embraced by the Roman Catholic Church seem no longer important. Many willingly embrace ecumenism and seek unity at any cost, but not at the foot of the cross. Oh, this would take hours in order to give you a good overview. But essentially, this phrase puts together evangelicals and Catholics together. It's been happening now for over a decade. And almost every day, well, if you go on our site, you'll see all the news items we post of people can't get back to Rome fast enough. Unity. At any cost. And then, if they would read carefully, well, the Pope last week says, there's only one true church. His plan is to bring all those who've left back, plus all of the religions together, for peace, in the name of Christ. And the Bible tells us that this would happen. Well, there's two Pauls, both deceased, Paul Crouch and Pope John Paul, shaking hands at the Vatican. But it's much deeper than that. There's a statue of Mary at Trinity Broadcasting Headquarters in Costa Mesa. It's much deeper than that. Unity at any cost. The Alpha Program. Almost every church denomination that I know has embraced the Alpha Program. There you see Nikki Gumbel, founder of Alpha from Holy Trinity Brompton in England, shaking hands with the Pope, and they agreed to evangelize together. The Pope's evangelization plan is a new evangelization plan to bring the world to the Roman Catholic Jesus. There you see Ranerio Cantamalesa from the Vatican next to Nikki Gumbel. There was a conference held in London in which the discussion of was how to get closer, how to pray to the saints, the importance of Mary. You don't often hear the churches here in North America talking about this avenue of the Alpha Program, but that's the direction that it's headed. And observation 5. Churches once focused on Jesus and His Word are now focusing on men and their methods and their movements if they become successful. And there are various ones that have. Rather than following Jesus Christ and His Word, they're following after certain individuals. And as a result, they no longer are focused on Jesus. They no longer have their eyes on Jesus. Because they're focusing their eyes on some particular individual who's proven to be extremely successful. And he has a various method or technique, because he's written a book that millions of people have read, and it's in thousands, well, all over the world in many different languages. And churches have changed what they once taught. They're in a movement because this movement attracts people. So what is the consequence? When people get their eyes off Jesus and get their eyes on men and their methods and follow a particular movement and they get their eyes off the Word, that's when they fall away from the Word. I know that as I'm sharing these things, you know of examples. Think of a method and think of a name. Positive thinking. The name I'm thinking about is pretty well, his kingdom has crumbled. In fact, his church is now owned by the Roman Catholic Church, and it's the headquarters for EWTN in Orange County, California. Positive thinking. There's Robert Schuller, who's going to mention. Seeker-friendly movement. Purpose-driven movement. What about the Bible? Studying the Bible, following Jesus Christ and His Word. Where is this going? Well, I spent much of yesterday describing where it's already gone. The emerging church. Road to Rome, road to Babylon. Rick Warren, author of Purpose-Driven Church, Purpose-Driven Life, wrote a foreword for the book by Dan Kimball, The Emerging Church, in which he said this book, Dan Kimball's book, is a wonderful, detailed example of what a purpose-driven church can look like in a postmodern world. So the idea is you market Christianity. You find out what people want, what makes them feel good, what attracts them, and then you provide that sensual experience. And that will draw people into the fold. Where is it headed? Well, it's headed backwards. Vintage Christianity, what it's called, where people have experiences. The postmodern generation introduced to experiences of the past. Candles, incense, icons, liturgical services, the sacraments, and the teachings of the church fathers that were mystical. Teachings of Ignatius Loyola, spiritual exercises. Essential, they're experiential, they're extra-biblical. And it provides a bridge. All of his teachings provide a bridge home to Rome. It's a fact that the emerging church is emerging. The question is, what Jesus will emerge in the emerging church? I'm not a prophet, but I can make a prediction. I believe it will be the Eucharistic Christ, the Roman Catholic Jesus. Time will tell. Is it possible that this time of deception that we see that's taking place is Bible prophecy being fulfilled? I believe it is. Could it be that doctrines of demons have infiltrated the Christian church? Paul warned about it. I believe it's happening. Is there a reason why the Roman Catholic and Orthodox experiences are becoming popular and acceptable as a means of getting closer to God rather than studying the Bible? Getting closer to Jesus through the Word? It seems to me that we're headed towards what I call Christian Babylonianism, a one-world global spirituality in the name of Christ that will set up the religion for the Antichrist, that will be part of the New World Order, the one world economy. And as these things become clearer and clearer to those who love the Word of God, more and more people who once professed to believe are deceived and reject the Word of God. The closer that we get to the return of Christ, fewer and fewer people are prepared for His return. When the Bible lays out the warning clearly, I pray that yesterday, today, this information that's presented will help you to understand the times that we live and inspire us to share with others what's going on, where things are headed from God's perspective, from the Bible perspective. The past pope is Eucharistic, Marian, and ecumenical, so is the present pope, who is a Jesuit. There's a plan to unite the religions for peace, to unite Christianity, particularly to bring the charismatic area of Christianity back into the fold through the Catholic Charismatic Movement. The Catholic Charismatics believe that it's Mary that's pouring out the Holy Spirit. Beware of deception. Ephesians 6. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Thy word, Jesus said, is the truth. Faith comes by hearing the word. What is the solution? Let me conclude with what Jude said. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Let's pray. Lord, this presentation in no way is designed to glorify Satan, but to expose his devices. And we've only touched on a few. Lord, we see our world in a very difficult period of history, perilous times, as it's described. And as we look at these current trends, current events that are taking place, we see how the church is becoming more like the world. Lord, I pray you would raise up individuals, pastors, like our brother here that has committed his life to teaching the truth and committed flock of believers to reach out into communities to be salt and light unto the earth. Lord, this is no surprise, these things that are happening, because it's happened before numerous occasions, but this time it's happening on a global basis, and it lines up with the prophetic warnings that we find about in your word. So Lord, let us be about your business in these days. And wherever we have an opportunity, lead us, direct us, guide us, so that we might be living witnesses and contend for the faith, as you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand as we sing this closing song.
And sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete.
Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing? To all, Lord of heaven and earth, we will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus, the Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. Falling deeper in love with you, you burn the truth on our lips.
Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. And shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus, the Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, you are Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen. He is Lord.
Amen.
And I agree with Roger totally. I've seen this trend in my 40 years of being a Christian. And what's troubling to me is if the devil is successful in getting people to go away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the narrow gospel of Jesus Christ found in the scriptures, and is able to deceive the church into the wide way that leads to destruction, which is really a non-saving way. They'll say it in the, you know, his topic was the emerging church of the Antichrist in the name of Jesus. They'll say it's Jesus, they'll say it's Christianity, but they make it so broad that it's everybody is involved. Everybody gets to be a Christian. Then if there isn't a remnant preaching the truth, then the people who are looking for the truth to be saved, they're convicted with the sins in their life, they won't have somebody to listen to because the church has now gone away from the gospel. So my prayer for all of you as you go today is just tell yourself today, I'm willing to be maligned for sticking with the narrow gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to be hated. I'm willing to be talked evil about. I'm willing to lose friends on Facebook and elsewhere. Because if I don't keep telling people you need to believe and trust in Jesus, not Mary, not the Catholic Church, not the sacraments, not anything else, you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, be willing to do that so that there is still an oasis on this planet, in this county, for people to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Keep you in His care this week as you go. Roger's going to be around because I'm taking to the airport later on this afternoon to fly back to Canada. And then he's going to Myanmar, formerly Burma, to go minister to some people there, to preaching the gospel on the other end of the world. So God bless you.